I can understand all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. You know, I can relate to it. I know exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. إِلَّا هَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَقُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Except this statement, وَقُلَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. This is something I'm finding a bit difficult to understand. Can you enlighten me with regards to this verse? Can you unpack it for me? Can you explain it to me? So Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib tells him, قَوْلُ الْعَبْدِ الْمُذْنِبِ لِسَيِّدِ الْفَضِّ. The statement or the speech of a slave that is absolutely in the wrong. He has done something majorly wrong. He has caused a huge blunder. He has caused it big time. His speech and his way of talking to his master, who is absolutely harsh, hard and cruel. Now let's put the scenario in front of us. You working for somebody, you indebted to him, he is the boss. You've caused a major problem. Absolutely your fault. You caused it big time. You made a major flop. Now you got to answer to that harsh, hard and cruel master. Will you go there and say, you know what, I don't care what you say. I mean, I did wrong. There's nothing you can do. It's one of those things. Will you speak like that? How will a person speak? We can just imagine what type of a mindset. A person will be shivering. A person will be shaking. Firstly, the words wouldn't come out from his mouth. He won't know how to even face the man. Now, if the topic and the aspect of parents is something that is only and primary, more should be concentrated to the youth, how is a young man supposed to relate to this example? A person who's going through the childhood and teenage phase of his life, how can he relate to this example? How would he know? How would a slave who's in the absolute wrong speak to his master who's harsh, hard and cruel? Very difficult it is for him to relate to that example and that explanation. But who can relate to that example? The man who's advanced in life, the man who's passed that phase in life, the person who's now in between 30 and 40 years of age, now he is at the peak of his intelligence, he's at the peak of his strength, now he knows better than everybody else. You can't tell him what to do. For everything, he knows better. He's seen much more than his parent. He's more experienced than them. You know the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La hakima illa dhu tajriba. There's nobody more wise than a man of experience. The one who went through life, ask him, he'll tell you. We look at everything on the outside. We look at the superficial side. We look at the intelligence. You know, a person said it very nicely. He said, respect and honor your parents to the best of your ability. Why? They made it through life and they passed matric without Google and without tuition. They made it through life without the help of these things. And they reached such heights in life. Today we got Google, we got everything. We got everything at our feet. But still the man will encounter a blunder and he'll come across a problem. And where will the solution lie? Just by him taking the advice of his seniors, the advice of his elders. These are simple things which the world is being robbed of, which nobody seems to pay attention to. But how important this is. Another great Tabi' Tawus Ibn Kaysan, he says, "Min as-sunnah, it is part of the sunnah of Islam and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an nuwaqqira arba'atun, that man should honor four groups of people. He has to honor four types of people. Number one, al-alim. He needs to honor a scholar. Any scholar of deen, he needs to honor him to the best of his ability. Now, the reason why I want to run you quickly through these four categories is because look at today's time and you'll see the exact opposite of that. Today, what the man say, what? That Maulana, you don't know what he's talking about. Who are you to make that statement? This is the first thing that he says, the first man that you need to respect, an alim. The second one you need to respect and give the most amount of respect to is dhushayba, an old man, an aged person in the Muslim ummah. That's a man you need to respect irrespective. Today what the old man knows, he's a little bit cranky, they don't know what they say sometimes, you know. You got to forgive him, you got to overlook his faults. But that's the person you need to respect. That's the one you need to honor. Wasultan, you need to respect the leader. You need to respect the person that's above you. And the fourth most important one, walwalid, you need to respect your parents. You need to honor your parents. And today all four is what we tend to see the opposite of. Everybody's authority is questioned. We fail to realize these are important individuals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put above us. What would we do without a scholar? What would we do without the old man who, because of him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is pouring down upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is coming via him. What we do without that ruler who sometimes is keeping us in check. Sometimes the rule is not really appealing to us, but there's goodness in that. And what would we do without your parents? What can you do without your parents? Look at the man who has been deprived of parents from the time he is young. How lost he is in life. How difficult it is for him to go through the challenges of life. He does not have that support. He does not have that shelter, which is so important to everyone. The love of a parent, what a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the love of a parent is something which is whole, irrespective of how many times it's divided. There can be 10 children in the home, there can be 5 children in the home, but the love of the parent for each individual child is something that's a whole. It's unexplainable what level it reaches. What a bond we have with our parents. Look at the face of your mother, what do you see? Look at the hands of your mother, what do you see? I'm sure many of us might have come across the article which is entitled, "My Mother's Hands." And the man says that, you know, after many years, my mother came to visit me. So I wanted to honor her. I said, you know, let me take my mother and buy for her something. You know, now I've reached the peak of life. I'm earning so well. Everything is pouring my way. Let me honor my mother. So he takes his mother to buy for her a dress, a lovely outfit. And the mother goes and she chooses something, old, now elderly. And then she puts on the dress and she finds difficulty in putting the buttons on. So the man says, my gaze fell on the hands of my mother, frail, crippled through arthritis, finding absolute difficulty just to put one button. And he says, that's the moment the whole world froze before me. I looked at those hands and then my mind ran down memory lane. I went back a few years. Those were the hands that fed me. Those were the hands that bartered me. Those were the hands that changed me. Those were the hands that picked me up when I fell down. Those were the hands that held me and taught me how to walk. Those were the hands that taught me how to do my work. Those were the hands that taught me how to write. Those were the hands that had done so much for me. There was a time when there was so much of strength and power in that hand. Today that same hand can't tie one button. Today that same hand has become wrinkled. Today that same hand has become crippled. He says, tears flowed down my eyes. I went, I held the hands of my mother. I kissed it, I put it on my forehead. And I said, oh my mother, how can I ever thank you for what you did for me? How can I ever be grateful? How can I show you appreciation? What have you done for me? And I made it a point from that day till my mother left this world that I would do as much as I possibly could for my mother. Because then it dawned upon me, what is the reality? When was the last time you looked at that aged father who's now hunched? And then go down memory lane and realize that her back got hunched. How? Working for who? Earning for who? It's amazing that a man always builds his life around his children, centered around his children. Every man, his earnings is included with his children are first and foremost. When he builds his home, his children are included. He knows he needs a certain amount of rooms. So every man builds his life around his children. How many a man builds his life around his parents? How many a man then really looks back and says, I need to consider this man every step of the way. A person came to Hassan Basri and he asked him, what is birrul walidain? Tell me what is birrul walidain. He said, antu badhila lahuma ma malakta. Being kind and courteous to your parents is that you need to put the world at their feet. You need to put the world at their feet. That you spend on them whatever you own. Now we're not saying now you must go make yourself bankrupt and go do that. No, no, but listen to the message. That you put the world at their feet. Why? Because they put the world at your feet. They put the world in front of you. How many a parent will sacrifice his necessity to fulfill the pleasure of his child? They will sacrifice their necessities to fulfill our pleasures. How many a child will sacrifice his pleasure to fulfill the necessity of his parent? I know we're going overseas. Sorry, man, maaf. You know, we'll see you when we come back. How many a person will sacrifice his pleasure for the necessity of their parents? These are gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Ask the man who lost his parents. Ask the man whose parents are no longer in this world. How he would wish to go back in time to do more than he did when they were alive. How he wish he could go back in time just to see the smile on the face of his parents. How he would wish to go back in time just to request the dua from his parents. The dua of our parents. When was the last time we said, oh my mother, make dua for me. Oh my father, make dua for me. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was such a great companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody knows him as that sahabi who narrated the most amount of hadith from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had an absolutely phenomenal and outstanding memory. Where all that goodness came from? It is mentioned about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to live in one house, wa ummuhu kanat fi baytin ukhra. His mother lived nearby in another home. Every morning, how would he start his day? How do we start our day? We know how we start our day. Everything is a rush, hustle, bustle, we're stuck in traffic, we rush in here, we rush in there. Nobody must come away in the morning, especially Monday morning. What they say, blue Monday, blue morning. So that's how we start our day. How Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he would start his day. He would walk out of his home, go by the door of his mother, knock on the door, say, As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi ya ummah. As-salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi ya ummah. Peace be upon you, my mother, how are you this morning? His mother would come out and say, wa alayka as-salam wa rahmatullah ya bunayya. She would respond to the salam of his son, I love you my son, peace be upon you, may Allah's blessings be upon you. Then he would say, oh my mother, rahimakillahu kama rabbaytani saghira. What a statement. He would say, oh my mother, may Allah shower you with mercy. What a fine job you did of bringing me up. How much you did for me when I was a child. May Allah shower his mercy on you. And what was the response of his mother? His mother would say, rahimakallahu kama waqqartani kabira. Rahimakallahu kama waqqartani kabira. That, oh Abu Huraira, may Allah shower you with mercy. May Allah honor you. How are you honoring me at this age? How are you taking me, my age now into consideration? How good you've been to me at this age of my life? This was Abu Huraira. We know him as the one who narrated the most amount of hadith. Such a great companion. Where the goodness came from? That's why I said earlier on, sometimes we see goodness rush into us in our life. We see ourselves reaching certain heights in life. And we attribute it to ourselves, our own doing. I worked hard, man. You know how many hours I put in to get this promotion? But little do you realize it's not because of that effort. It has come from those two individuals who sat and made so much of a dua for you. It has come from your parents. It has come from the goodness that you did to your parents. And sometimes in life, there's difficulty that comes our way. Sometimes in life, there's a wake-up call that Allah is trying to give you. There's a shake that Allah is trying to give you. For you to realize and open your eyes to the fact that you're going wrong somewhere along the line. You're not fulfilling the rights of these individuals. You're not being as courteous to your parents as you need to be. How sad it is that those individuals who helped us take our first steps in life, it's so difficult for us to help them take their last steps in life. Another person put it very beautifully. He said, love your parents. Treat them with love and care. Respect them to the best of your ability. For you will only realize their value when you see the empty chair. When you see that empty chair in front of you, then you'll realize their value. Ask that man who's living in the same home that his parents lived in. Ask that man that's driving the same vehicle that his father sat in. How often he runs down memory lane. How often he's in this world but he's 20 years back, reminiscing the days of his parents in front of him. Reminiscing the days of him as being a child in front of his parents. Thinking back to the times that he played with his father. Thinking of the times that he laughed with his mother. Thinking of the times that he hugged his father. You will know their value when you see their empty chair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from reaching that stage. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to truly realize the value of our parents. To sum it up, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that what is the value of parents? What is the right of parents? He summed it up in two words. Huma jannatuk wa naruk. Your parents are either the means of you entering the highest of stages in Jannah, or your parents, and because of your ill treatment towards them, will be a means of you entering the hell of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save each one of us. Because you have the opportunity, and most unfortunate is that man also according to the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the opportunity of serving one or both of his parents at old age, and he never secured Jannah, not through all his other actions. Now it doesn't mean now we belittle in salah, we belittle in hajj, we belittle in zakah and all the other injunctions of deen. But he never secured Jannah through his service of his parents. We need to really take stock of ourselves. We need to look at our relationship with our parents. As I mentioned, there's no man that's more fortunate every day that the sun rises in the condition that he has both these individuals in front of them. And then, for those people whose parents have left this world, now that's another question we need to ask ourselves. How long does a man have to be dutiful to his parents for? A person came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, هَلْ بَقِيَ مِنْ بِرِّيَ بَوَيْهِ شَيْءٌ أَبَرَّهُمَا بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِمَا. Is there anything left that I need to do as a child once my parents have left this world? So the question is, how long do you need to be dutiful to your parents for? Is it for the duration of your childhood, the duration of your adulthood, the duration of their life? What's the span? What's the time span? The answer is, the duty of a child is for as long as that child lives, not as long as the parent lives. So sometimes you might think, hey, but my father passed away 20 years ago. My mother passed away 30 years ago. Yet the man says, is there anything more that I can do once my parents have left this world? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, the job is not over. There's a whole shopping list still left for you to do. As-salatu lahuma. You need to make dua for your parents. Wal-istighfaru lahuma. You need to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them and shower them with His mercy. You need to fulfill wa inqadhu ahdihima. You need to fulfill the promises of your parents that they probably had certain wishes and desires whilst they were living in this world. You need to fulfill those desires provided they are within the framework of Sharia. And then the fourth thing that you need to do for your parents is you need to maintain those ties and those bonds which only existed because they were living in this world. Sometimes they had distant family, distant relative that they would keep in touch with. Now once they leave this world, it's your duty as a child to maintain those ties. By you doing these things, it's nothing in vain. You are recorded in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an obedient child now. You are fulfilling the rights of your parents long after they have left this world. Because the duty of a child towards his parents is till you die, not when they leave this world. And then the fifth and most important thing, وَإِكْرَامُ صَدِيقِهِمَا. You need to honor the friends of your parents. So if you need to honor all those people who are even remotely connected to your parents, again the question begs to be asked, how much more you need to honor them themselves? If this is how much you have to do once they leave this world, how much you have to do whilst they're still in this world? Can you ever afford to slip up if there's so much you have to do once they leave this world? And we'll end with this point with regards to honoring the friends of our parents. We know Umar radiallahu anhu had a son. His son was Abdullah. And he was known as Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu. One day when he had grown up and he was one of the leader of the Muslims. So he was traveling with his whole entourage of Sahaba, students, everybody around him, moving in a certain direction. And he sees a simple old man on the side of the road. And from a distance, Abdullah radiallahu anhu spots this man and his eyes lights up. Immediately he turns the direction of his animal towards this old person sitting on the side of the street. He jumps off his animal. He runs to this man. He hugs him. He kisses him. He takes off his amama that's on his head, puts it on the head of this person, holds this whole old man's hand, puts him on that camel and says, Oh, my respected elder, take this and move. Now this is how the example is explained. Let's take it in today's times. You traveling in your S-Class Mercedes Benz. You have the finest of coats on. You go boss, you wearing. Now you drive in, you got all your followers behind you. Suddenly you see an old man on the side of the street sitting on the pavement. So imagine if you're on the street and you're watching the scenario, the person jumps off his Mercedes Benz, runs to the old man who's wearing tattered, torn, old, dirty clothes. And you take off your Hugo Boss jacket, you say, hey, take my jacket. You give him the car keys, you say, come, put him in the driver's seat, even though maybe he doesn't even know how to drive. You tell him, take this car and go. What's the price of the vehicle? 1 million rand. Now we would look at this and we'd say, hey, something seriously wrong with this man. You know, he's lost his marbles. I think definitely he needs to visit a psychiatrist. This was the same reaction from the companions of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. When he came back, he said, Abdullah, hold on, you did something that we never saw you do before. I mean, are you okay? This was a simple man. He would have got appeased, he would have got happy with something simple. I mean, if you gave him a few coppers, he would have been happy. You gave him 2 rand, he would have smiled. What was the need for you to go to such an extent of honoring this man? Abdullah radiallahu anhu looks at his companions and he says, Kana wuddan li Umar. This man was the friend of my father Umar radiallahu anhu. And I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that one of the best things a child can do for his parents once they leave this world is honor his friends. What I have done is inadequate to what I supposed to do to honor the friends of my parents. Who would go to that extent? We're not asked to go to that extent, but we're saying come somewhere close. The man was the friend of your father. You never spoke to him for 10 years. You see him every day. You're supposed to hug him, you're supposed to kiss him, you're supposed to say, you are the friend of my father. My father's soul will be happy knowing that I'm keeping his friends intact, that I'm being good to his friends. But then again, if we have our parents in front of them, make the best use of it. For you will only know their value once they leave this world. And as I started off in the beginning, every ni'mah that Allah blesses a person with, he can replace, and sometimes he can better as a replacement. Except one ni'mah, the ni'mah of your parents. No amount of wealth will ever bring that back. You can never get a replacement for that. What you have now. Make the best of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to be dutiful and good children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from ever being disrespectful to our parents. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.